Yeah, his love is amazing, isn't it? When you think about all of the behavioral issues that we've had throughout all our lives, his love just continues to be there for us, chasing us down, loving us, believing in us, encouraging us. So, Lord, we just thank you today that you are amazing, your love is amazing, and we just pray that we would be able to celebrate your love today, Lord, with a fresh heart, a fresh heart of love back to you, a fresh awareness, Lord, of what it means to be loved by you and how we can live, Lord, loved. Teach us, Lord, how to live loved. We just ask you to just fill this place, Lord, this place, our hearts, Lord, with a deep awareness of your presence. So we just thank you that you're going to do above and beyond all we can ask or think today. In Jesus' name, amen. Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me. When I am surrounded, your love carries me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Your love is surprising. I can feel it rising. All the joy that's growing deep inside of me. Every time I see you, all your goodness shines through. I can feel this God song rising up in me.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be together, especially for those who haven't seen for a while. It's awesome. What?
Feels good to be here.
Yeah. Losing my... Yes.
It's good to look out and see you.
Yep. I was hoping that maybe you would make it today and the weather was causing a slowdown. You guys could probably use the break too, right? 7 days a week? Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, with the... Right. Are you guys almost done or... This cooler summer really slowed things down, didn't it? Or was it a late start?
2 weeks.
Was it a late start? Is that what it was? Or was it, do you think it's just a cool summer? Everything, huh? Oh, you have some new fields maybe coming on too? No? Just a lot of apples, huh? That's good. Well, praise the Lord.
Makes great applesauce.
Hopefully they'll be doing more than applesauce with it, right?
Chunky the way that Joyce made it.
Oh, good. That will be
what?
Good.
What?
What's that? So we're into John chapter 11.
We got out of 10.
So that puts us over halfway. Is that like, this is like a big day today? Or is it over halfway? We're not.
Graduating.
Yeah, we have to get halfway through this chapter, I think. We're not counting? It's not a race. That's our kid always says. It's not a race, Dad. Yeah? For us. I don't think for getting through this, but yeah. But this is a big chapter. I think we're going to be in it a while. There are so many, as I was reading through it, so many deep truths. And all we're getting through is 1 and 3 today, unless something happens and we only get through like verse 1 or something. You know, it's hard to say. But Today's title, A Tale of Two Sisters. Now, a tale, a lot of times people think a tale and they think it's like something that's not true, but it can also be facts that are basically given for a specific story,
right,
in a certain type of way. So it still works. I like the play on words, A Tale of Two Cities, A Tale of Two Sisters. So let's go ahead and we'll start by reading John 11:1.
In the ESV.
Oops, we're not working here. Not working, bro. Did you just click Easy Worship? Weird. Okay. I don't know. Oh, yeah. So it wasn't all queued. Okay, that makes sense. All right. That's it. Okay, thank you.
John 11:1 ESV. Now a certain man was ill. Excuse me. Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha.
So, starts off this chapter starts off with a certain man that was ill. And we hear that this Lazarus is from Bethany. So let's take a look at Bethany, because I think it's interesting here to know, because you read about it in the Bible and it's not always really clear like how close it was, but basically it kind of set at the very Mount of Olives on the opposite side of the Mount of Olives from Jerusalem. So it was only a mile and a half, 2 miles away. So, you know, yeah, right down over there. Yeah. If I had a laser pointer, I'd do it. Yeah. That's why I put the little arrow though. That's Bethany over there. There's the Mount of Olives. And then on the other side of the Mount of Olives, right at the base, is the Garden of Gethsemane. And then there's Bethphage, who is another city along the way into Jerusalem. So as we'll read in the Bible, you'll see that many different things happened in the place of Bethany and the Mount of Olives. And the interesting point to make here is that this is a... if we go back to this first verse, now there was a certain man who was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary, and her sister Martha. I think it's interesting the way that John switches between saying Mary and her sister Martha and Martha and her sister Mary and some of the other gospels. But obviously these two sisters were keys to Jesus' historical, I guess for lack of a better term, acquaintance and understanding. And so we have John starting off this chapter with this. And as you see here in Matthew 21:17, go ahead and read that, babe.
And leaving them, he went out of the city to Bethany and lodged there.
So we see here in Matthew 21 that he lodged in Bethany. We don't know exactly, the timeline of Luke, which we'll look at here in a minute, but it looks like Jesus established this place as his kind of his headquarters when he was by Jerusalem. Now, whether he was always living with these three, it's hard to say, but based upon their communication of how they all knew that he loved them so much, I believe that this is probably was his home away from home when he wasn't in the Galilean area. You know, this was his place that he liked to go. And I think it was family to him. I think these were close and dear people to him. And as we go into the story, you'll understand even more so why it was odd the way the circumstances go. But let's go ahead and take a moment in another place in the Word so that we can understand these two ladies, because this whole chapter almost centers around them. Lazarus as well, but he's in a tomb, you know, waiting to be released. And so Mary and Martha are kind of the hinging point of this chapter. And Gay had deep revelation. I'm sure it's probably not today that she might get into that. Who knows? Because she was really given some insight into these two by the Lord. But go ahead and read 38, 39, and 40, and then we'll talk a little bit.
Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home or house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving.
So here we have the story of, or the communication of this incident, this historical incident where Jesus entered into a village. And we know that village is Bethany because that is where they lived. And so Martha evidently either owned the home and probably was a widow, is what they're thinking. And so what ended up happening is that a lot of times when there was a widow, the rest of the family would live with them to help with the expenses and the needs. And that still happens today to a certain degree.
Would she have been the elder of
she
all
probably
of them?
Was, she probably was the elder, but whether or not that, we don't know for sure who was the oldest. Martha seems to act the oldest based upon her...
bossiness? Like, no, I'm kidding.
Or you could say based upon her wanting to kind of take control of things a little bit. Yeah. That doesn't always mean that the older one's that way, right? Just trying to... not
smooth,
ruffled any feathers.
Smooth, yeah. Smooth,
you know. Okay, yeah. But so a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And so was this the first time that he came to Bethany and was welcomed? It sounds like possibly this was the initial time that Jesus went into their home. And obviously his ministry had been established. You know, he had done many miracles. And so they knew that they were having a special guest. They knew that who was coming was worth the red carpet. And so if we think about this environment now, Martha now has, somebody of, we'll say it like royalty, you know, to her, somebody of high esteem. And she wants to make sure that we put out a table spread for this man and his disciples. I don't know how many of his disciples were with him, but probably an entourage was with him to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. And we got a feast we got to make here. And so, you know, there's things to be done, right? When we're in the kitchen and we've got guests coming, I mean,
I'm really bad about telling him what my eye sees the end result being. I never tell him that. I'm in the kitchen and he's in the kitchen. I'm like, no, I don't want it that way. But I don't tell him I see it looking like this. Or in my daydreams when I'm laying in bed and I'm thinking about how Thanksgiving dinner should appear on the table, I see this turkey that's not cut yet. And you know what I mean? So this
very
was
rarely
Martha.
Ends up like that. Yeah.
Exactly. So anyway.
And we're usually waiting for it to get done in the oven and people are standing around eating the olives and the chips. And, you know, it's like some people are pretty hangry by that point. So that it's getting tense at the house. You know, it's like, I thought this was supposed to be Thanksgiving, not Tense-giving, right? Anyway, so here we have this environment where they're trying to get she's trying to get a spread ready.
Right.
And so Martha is busy getting the spread ready. I'm sure there were probably people helping. For all we know, disciples were helping, being told what to do. And so we have this scene where these two sisters are kind of showing who they are. And we have Martha, who is getting things ready. But we have Mary sitting at the Lord's feet. Now, this is a controversial type of scripture, because I've heard so many different people preach on this. I've heard people say, well, Martha needed to get these things done. And I mean, it just wasn't Jesus just saying, don't do these things. You have anyone ever heard that? And that you know, that Martha wasn't, like, you know, being ridiculed for her busyness. But I mean, if you just read the scripture at face value, I think Jesus would have been okay with just them breaking some bread and maybe just having some water. And for this big spread to take place wasn't as necessary as Martha thought it was. Right? If you look here, she's sitting at the Lord's feet. She listened to his teaching.
Mary did.
What did Mary understand? Why did she, even though her sister needed her help, you know, she must have known her sister needed her help. I don't think Mary was a lazy person, you know. making a value judgment. I don't know. But the point being is usually back then, everyone worked. You know, you didn't eat, you know. And so, but I think something happened to Mary when Jesus walked into their house, or for all we know, before then. Maybe she had been admiring him from a distance, from all of the communications that had been going and the word about him all over the countryside. And he's in our house, and realizing that this is the one who raised the widow's son. Maybe that testimony, I think by Luke 10, I think we've had blind eyes open. I mean, there was, you know, the lepers were healed. So there was news spreading about him, even though, you know, he told people not to tell. They always told, you know. And so he had a reputation. Mm-hmm. And so I believe Mary had an expectation in her heart to hear from this one, mm-hmm, who carried this obviously this presence of God. You have anything?
Well, yes, actually I do. What I was thinking is that her expectation didn't start the minute that he walked in the door. It started prior to. Mm-hmm. So she had this longing to glean from him way before he ever got in the door.
And Martha probably had a longing.
And Martha had a longing that everything would be perfect, and maybe she could glean something too. See, Martha had so many things on her plate, and she's the kind of woman that does all the plate spinning and then all of a sudden realizes this plate is about to fall and has to run back over and do this one. But she really wants to do this one too. And I think that Mary, if in fact she did know all the news about Jesus, she recognized this is somebody I can get something from, and I'm going to expect to get something from him when he walks in this door. Because it doesn't say how much time went by, but it says Jesus entered a village and a woman named Martha welcomed Jesus. And she had a sister Mary, and Mary sat immediately at his feet is what it makes it sound like. She probably had been up helping Martha do everything that Martha needed to get done. But when Jesus got there, her expectations were being met, and she didn't want to miss it. She knew that the time frame was when he walked in, and she was ready to be done with all that serving stuff. Vicki?
Also, think of it this way, that Mary, you know how some people are sensitive to the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
Mary, you know, probably in her youth and in her expectations, was sensitive to the fact that she was in the presence of the Spirit of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who knows what she did when she went to the temple.
Right.
Yeah.
But where Martha is like a lot of Christians, this has to be done first before, mm-hmm, God can do something for me.
Right.
So that's where she was popular.
I think Martha's the majority of us.
All the, mm-hmm, receiving would be done after she had done.
Right. Yeah, I think Martha is the majority of us. Wouldn't you say? I mean, the majority of Christians, I would say, fall into the Martha camp, that we want to make sure everything is in order before, you know, we really receive him. You know what I mean? And have a place where we maybe even deserve to sit at his feet. Martha may have thought, like, I don't have, you know, I would love to sit at your feet, Lord, but this is really important. I mean, I don't think you realize how important this is, what we're doing. You have a lot of people here. They need to eat. You know, she. I could see her thinking that obviously that this event that she was having in her house had high priority. Mm-hmm. But the event took place over the one the event was for. How many times does that happen on Sundays? Where the event itself ends up becoming, coming to church, having worship, ends up becoming more important than who we're even gathering for. And this can be like an Achilles heel for Christians. Because it can be that way when we read our word. It can be that way when we listen to worship music. It ends up being that the event of the listening of the worship music or reading the word or even prayer time ends up becoming about the event, not about the one that event is to be even directed at. Okay. So, if we look here, it says that, and she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Oh, Martha. I was thinking about that because he says Martha, Martha. But the point was is that this word distracted was only used one time in the New Testament, and it literally means to be pulled, like plate spinning is a perfect example, being pulled one way and the other, not being able to even think. You're just
one.
Exactly. Okay, let's go and see what happens next.
So this is Martha still. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.
Okay, so this is kind of clears it up. So, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So do you think it was just Martha? I can't believe it was just Martha getting all this ready. But in her eyes, she's being abandoned. She's being abandoned by, you know, you've probably been in a crowd of people helping, you know, and I'm, you know, in the other room doing something, maybe watching TV or something like that, and you feel, even though other people are, yeah, feel like you're alone, even though, because we're the ones that are hosting this,
yeah,
right? I'm into the game, and go, you know, it's like, honey, get in here. Yeah, it's like, you know, like, well, I didn't have the excuse of sitting at Jesus' feet at that time, so had I maybe could have got away with it.
But. One word in that first scripture there has really got my attention.
And the first, the last
then.
One?
She went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. It almost sounds like she's expecting him to agree with her.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, it's like...
Her expectation is before
lazy,
she even
Lord,
opens up
that.
Her mouth, tell her then. Make her get up and help me. Because she knows the Lord's going to be on her side. He's going to take her side of it.
This is important, what we're doing.
So actually, Martha has drawn a line here.
Mm-hmm. She has. She's drawn a demarcation line.
Yeah.
And she said, okay, Lord, you know how things operate. You know that this is
a... You know the customs.
You know the customs.
The way it is.
Yeah, for all we know, women were all supposed to be in the kitchen. You know, I don't know, maybe... Hebrew customs, Jewish customs, maybe right there. Oh, yeah. So so it's possible that she may have been one of the only ladies sitting at his feet or sitting around him. You know, hard to say. We're filling in a lot of gaps here. But the point being is that Martha is frustrated. Lord, do you not care? Don't you have feelings? Don't you realize my pain? Don't you realize my turmoil here trying to do this for you? Any of us ever said that? Lord, can't you see how hard I'm working for you here? Don't you see all the blood, sweat, and tears I'm putting into this, you know, whatever it could be? You know, maybe it's trying to love somebody that is unlovable, you know, and they just keep bashing you and bashing you and bashing you. Lord, man, can't you get me a breakthrough here? Don't you see this? Don't you see, you know, that cry of like, God, do something. She doesn't say God, do something, but she says, Lord, you know, and she's giving him that high, you know, admonishment as someone that is very much connected with God. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve here alone? Tell her then, I like that, tell her then to help me. And so she's just like, okay, so here we go. We're going to get this all straightened out. But the Lord answered her.
Martha, Martha.
You are anxious and troubled about many things.
I'm shaking his head at her.
And she's...
Can't you?
Yeah.
Martha, Martha.
You are anxious and troubled about many things. In other words, do you think it was just the meal that was messing with her?
No.
It was life. Yeah. It was life. And he's trying to tell her, Martha, Martha, you are so anxious and troubled, not just about this meal, not just about, you know, pleasing me, you know, with being a good hostess. You're troubled about many things. And, could be laws and customs. Exactly. It could be she's troubled that she doesn't have her husband anymore. We don't know. I mean, it could be that she's carrying a lot of weight of things, like all of us can. And I think the key here is to realize that the more we let things trouble us and we become anxious, the less likely we'll sit at Jesus' feet. The more we let life be what we're focused on, the less likely we'll listen to his teaching, or we'll even be obedient, because it causes us to be so heavy in one. It's not that we won't serve him. We'll serve him, and we love him. Martha loved the Lord, obviously, but we will get to the place where we're not hearing his recent word to us, his communication that is necessary for this time. What's it say? But one thing is necessary. One thing is necessary. In other words, you're troubled about a lot of stuff, but one thing is necessary right now. He could have just easily said, Martha, put all the food down and come sit at my feet. That's what's important. And I don't know if Martha did that. We don't have any more communication after this.
Well, I somehow think that she did. She did not. And the reason I think that is because of her later interaction with Jesus when he comes back.
Mm-hmm.
It appears that she still hasn't learned what the one thing is yet.
The one thing.
She may have realized that the one thing is just yet another thing.
Right.
But not the one thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, okay, all right, I've got this list. I've got to make sure that this is done and this is done. And now I get to add to it the one thing, you know, love Jesus. So I got to put that in with it all, when it needs to be at the top of the list, not included in the list. So I'm thinking the way her interaction is later on, she hasn't learned what that one thing is just yet. Or she has, and she's just lumped it together with all the other things she has to do.
And you think about how hard this is, you know, to hear, because I can just think about so many times I get anxious and troubled about many things, and I miss that communication that's coming to me. You know, I miss that teaching that the Lord wants to impart into my heart, because I've gotten so caught up in all the things that need to be done. Some for him, you know, even on a Sunday morning, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, we got to get all this stuff done. And not that obviously I haven't thought about the Lord, but it's like you become more caught up in the preparation mm-hmm. of the event than the one whom the event is for.
Yeah, I was actually very concerned about that last night when he came over and found the basement had flooded a little bit. The other church had used the baptismal. Instead of turning the valve on low, they turned it on high. And so it flooded into the impact room, and he had to be over here. He was over here till after 11, sucking up the water. And I thought, oh, Lord, please don't let this distract him from what we're going to talk about tomorrow. I mean, I said that to the Lord last night. And he hadn't yet sent me this. So I'm so happy to see that you didn't, because you still was like, you know, this is just part of it. But I can get so caught up in that kind of stuff. The basement flooding like that could have kept me awake last night. I could have thought on that. Do you know what I mean? Even though it was over with, cleaned up, I could have gone to bed, and that would have distracted me, even for sleep. Him, 3 minutes, he's like, I'm still racing. I don't know that I can go to sleep. He's out. Like, I mean, that, it almost sounded like he did it that fast because he was tired, you know. And I'm like, oh, thank goodness he's able to go right to sleep. I hope it's a good rest, you know. But here I am, my eyes are wide open. I'm like, if it had been me, I'd have been like, oh, no, now add to my list a flooded basement. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just crazy.
Oh, head.
We let, unfortunately, our circumstances dictate to us mm-hmm. what we allow, you know, for our heart to focus on, for our I guess for lack of a better term, for our actual healthiness of our spiritual man. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to look at this scripture. Hang on a second. Martha. It's interesting because it's these Greek words that are being used are, you know, we read that you are anxious, but it really means that you are continuously being anxious. So it was something that was a constant thing for Martha.
A habit.
Mm-hmm. And you are continuously troubled about many things. So it wasn't just like this one situation. He's telling her, Martha, you are always anxious about things. Martha, you are always constantly troubled about things. And we don't necessarily pick that up. And I'm reading it, I'm going, I think we're missing some dynamic. And it's true. This is talking about Martha's personality. This is talking about her nature, right? And he's trying to say, but what's really important, Martha, is what Mary is doing.
It's almost like Mary had this to look at, and this to look at. And she got to choose door one, door two, or door three. And door two was Jesus. And she just didn't even look at door one and three. She went straight for him because he was the thing that attracted her the most. And I'm getting spanked this morning.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
When I was in Texas, I went to church with Valerie, and one chapel is doing a series right now about depression and anxiousness.
Uh-huh.
And Pastor Brett said this. He said, to be anxious, we're going to be anxious because we're human.
Mm-hmm.
But to live in that anxiety and to live in that anxiousness is where the sin is. You know, his grandmother used to tell him, you can't control the fact that the birds are going to fly over your head. But you can control if they nest in your hair.
Right. So, heard Pastor Ken say that before.
Yeah, well, that's from his mom. And so Brett
right.
And his grandma said it. And that struck me too because it's like, you know, sometimes when I get a little anxious about something, I'm like, I'm not supposed to do that. But it is human to get a little anxious, to have a concern. But when you let that control where our thoughts go and where our actions go and let that be in our life to where it just, you know, we can't breathe.
But how many of us are like that? Honestly, I am. Is anybody else?
One for Jesus calling, I would still be like that. It's the only thing that comes in, and I'd steal him.
Yeah.
But that's what makes me realize is that we're not, every time we think of that, now I got a trigger. It's a thing on the Lord and just relax about everything else.
Right. It's like my affirmation thing going off during the day. Sometimes I'll abide to it. Other times I say, I don't have time for it right now. You know, it's like crazy. Well, why did I put that on my wrist to remind me so that I would be reminded? But it's like, oh, can't be reminded right now. You know,
I'm too busy.
It's just a total Martha thing. You know, it's a Martha thing. It really is. Those are Brady Bunch terms. I don't know if you guys ever heard about that. Martha.
Yeah.
What's that?
What?
I'm pretending to be young.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what, though? It's really funny because just yesterday I watched the clip of the gal that played Marsha, and she was on Dancing with the Stars, and her own husband did not know what Brady Bunch was when they met and got married. And her partner, who was from Russia, didn't know who Brady Bunch was. So two men that were in her life at that time had no idea who she was. So it meant nothing to them that she was Marsha. It only meant to them that this was the woman that I'm, you know, I need to deal with right now. And she's like, I couldn't impress either one of them. And we can't impress Jesus. We can't. He's beyond any accolades we could give him. He's beyond any effort we can make for him.
Well, he is totally enamored with us, which is interesting.
He is.
We don't have to do anything to impress him.
He is
like totally enamored with us. He is, you know, he thinks about us all the time. Thinks about you all the time. Thinks about me all the time. Thinks about Zeke all the time. Thinks about Tim all the time. Tara.
How does that work?
All of us.
Yeah,
he thinks,
right.
Well, he does. I mean, his thoughts are always good towards us. You know, so we can't impress him. You know, we can't go up a notch in his, like, you know, well, I want to be like, you know, John, that, you know, when John was able to lay on Jesus' chest, you know, that was John. Nobody else could do that. Really? Maybe others could have, but they didn't feel enough love that they felt that comfortable to lay and hear his heartbeat. So let's finish this off. But one thing is necessary. One thing is important. One thing is of the highest, most focus, Martha, that you need to do. Mm-hmm. And Mary has chosen that good portion. She's chosen what is the one thing. And then he says to something to her that I think is a key for all of us, and we can end with this, which will not be taken away from her. And if you think about it, when we do all of these things, when we go to church on Sunday, when we go through, you know, any kind of, even with family, when we just go through things for the motions, not for love, not for the sake of love. I believe, as you will discover and communicate to them or help them discover later on, that this was about love. Mm-hmm. And Mary was reflecting her love for the Lord. Martha, too, I'm sure, loved the Lord, but Mary had that chosen type of love, and she chose to sit at his feet. And the thing is that the portion that she was receiving at that time was something that would never be taken away. It was being deposited eternally in her. Mm-hmm. All of the work you've done today, Martha, as great as it was, it'll be taken away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because the focus of it was for, you know, I don't know if it was impressing her friends or what. Gay's like,
No, I'm just thinking. I mean, because I have always said that I am Martha.
I are Martha.
And but the way that you just put that puts a whole new perspective on it, is that all of that stuff will vanish, and what Mary has chosen will remain forever. And Mary had the same choices that day that Martha did. The same choices. It may have been Martha's house, but Mary had the same choices that Martha did, is to concentrate on serving, concentrate on custom, concentrate on the way things are supposed to be, and concentrate on Jesus. And Mary chose to concentrate on Jesus first and all that other stuff, because it would disappear. It would not be, it would not remain. Does that make sense? And I'm like, oh my goodness, that's so deep.
Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.
Martha's a lot like the older brother of the Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing this. I've done all this. Mm-hmm. I should be the one that gets the better portion, where the younger one.
Well, and we can see this depicted, too, at the two men that are standing at the altar, and the one that's beating his breast saying, you know, Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner. And the other one's like, look what I've done. Look how great I am. Look how wonderful how much money I've given. I mean, we can always have an either or, I think, to look at, to be able to choose the proper way. But I want Jesus to get me at my instinct reaction. I want that to be instinctively him first. I want him to get me there at that root. I don't want it to be me recognizing and me doing the change. I want it to become such a natural part of who I am that Jesus is at the root of what I do. And people know that. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was reading in Acts 4, and I was sharing it with Mike, and I said, you know, the two disciples that were uneducated, but the people could tell that those two disciples had been with Jesus. They couldn't tell any other way than how they carried themselves and how they spoke. They could tell they'd been with Jesus because they didn't learn that. It wasn't a learned thing. It wasn't them going through the Bible 20 times.
Or being raised as a Pharisee or Sadducee.
Right. And it wasn't learning all those laws. But what was at the root of it, what was at the depth of who they were, was what was counting. Does that make sense? So we have to, I want Jesus to just get me and shake me. And anybody else? I really do. I want him to.
I think we have to remind ourselves that nothing is hidden from him, ever.
Right.
Holy Spirit lives in us. We live and move and have our being in him.
Mm-hmm.
He holds us together by his word.
Mm-hmm.
The minute he decides to not hold us together anymore, the elements will melt away.
Yeah.
So this reminded me of Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. Right?
Right.
So if we can remind ourselves constantly that he's there when we're, quote, being good, he's even there when we're in sin, because he says, he obviously can see.
Right.
You're sinning because he says, I'm providing a door for you. Right? That's
right.
And so I think we can do both. I think we can attend to the tasks that need to be done, but not be doing them for people, be doing them for him.
Yeah. Right.
That's what Colossians is telling us.
Amen.
So,
and so possibly Martha was doing it for him, but also for all the people. Making sure all the people were taken care of.
But going
possibly, like you were saying, it was her personality to do it first for people.
Right.
It was her heart. It was a heart thing. Again, it's always that heart thing, right?
Right.
Right.
Anyway, for what it's worth.
But we know from this communication that he would have loved to have seen Martha at his feet and not worry about the meal.
Right.
I think that's what he was trying to communicate. That Martha could have come away not preparing a meal, but full of having eaten a meal. Roger, I knew you would have something for this, because I've heard you talk about these scriptures before. Mm-hmm.
Between the eternal and the temporal. Mm-hmm. And maybe Martha might have been a little bit jealous when she was busy at preparing and looking, saw Mary at the feet, so she might have felt a little bit like, hey, I've been abandoned.
And I'd like to do that if I could.
Yeah.
But, there's no logical like I said right now. I just can't say much more about it.
Can't unpack it, huh? Right.
Between the eternal and the temporal. We can be so distracted, or I should use it, put emphasis on it, we can be so overly distracted that we forget to spend time with the Lord.
Yeah.
And
guilty.
Exactly what the enemy would want us to be so consumed with so much to do that we can't even center our things, our thoughts on things above. And I believe that in my life too, I've come to realize that I have been at that place where Martha's been at before in my business. I know there's others here that can relate to that. But there's a place we have to come, where we can be doing all the things that we need to do, take their responsibilities and be accountable with this and so forth. But also, never leave that place where Mary was at the feet of Jesus.
And that's like what Jesse was saying.
To remain there regardless of what we're doing. Her thoughts were not on things above. It was on all of the busyness and everything. But I think that she was probably overly distracted and maybe becoming a little jealous of Mary. But all she had to do is stop what she was doing and sit at the feet of Christ.
Right.
But the distinction is between the temporal and the eternal, and it's the priorities. And the Lord is constantly conveying to us about our priorities in our relationship with Him.
Amen. No, I agree. I just think that what we need to continue to remember is, like Jesse said, in Him we live and move and have our being. So we don't have to be in a spiritual setting to be spiritual. We are spiritual. And so it's a matter of us just changing our focus. And that's why, like you, I love Jesus calling, because hitting that first thing in the morning, it reminds me, okay, you know, that's a priority. Today is to be reminding myself that the Lord is there, that He loves me, and that if to the best of my ability to live this day, receiving everything He has for me, and the love that is given to me, how I can give it to others. And sometimes I would say that it's almost like transparent. It's not like really, you know, it's opaque. It's not really like right there in my awareness, but, you know, it's Him at work in me to will and to do of His good pleasure. So if there's anything good that I've done that day, He was obviously at work in me. If I showed love to somebody that day, I think I was more connected with Him than we realized. But there is a time to sit at His feet and be taught. And that's what we don't want to miss. We don't want to miss, what is the Lord saying to us at this particular time? What is the one thing necessary for us to hear from Him? And that may be, you know, to prepare us for a trial we're going to go through. And without that, the trial would be much more difficult to go through. I know there's times that I've like said, am I getting this word and that word? And, you know, it's like, or I feel like certain encouragements coming to me, then, you know, weeks later I realize, oh, God was preparing me. Well, fortunately I was able to hear then. There's probably other times I didn't hear as well, and I didn't realize God was preparing me, because I'm now just dealing with the situation with what's I've had deposited in me, but I didn't get that extra one thing I needed. Does that make sense? Yes, Roger.
And I think too, I don't think I know for sure that that's why we should start our day in prayer and just in a quiet place to start the day out in the Word or whatever the Holy Spirit impresses upon us to pray about or whatever it is, but to press into the Lord immediately right at the beginning of the morning, and then you've got a pretty good start for the rest of the day.
Right. And for some, it may be prayer. Others, it may be putting a worship song on, and that's how they connect, you know, or singing a song of the Lord in their heart, or some praying in the Spirit. We all have our different ways that we know how we connect with the Lord. Let's make sure it's that specific, or it's that way that we're being even led to connect with Him. Sometimes, you know, I'm praying and I'm realize I'm just thinking about other stuff. This is not working. And so I just need to quiet down and just sit there and just be quiet and say, Lord, I'm here. I'm listening, you know, and just quiet the mechanism, as they say, you know, tune it down. And other times, you know, I just need to, you know, read scripture out loud or whatever it is that helps get me that breakthrough where I know I'm connecting with God. But yeah, something that is turning your focus to the Lord, you know. My Jesus calling goes off at 5 in the morning. So when I pick my phone up, it says Jesus calling is one of the first thing that I do in the morning before I get out of bed. And it's just, you know, I quit reading it for a while, but now it's like, I don't know if I read it this morning. Sometimes I don't read it on church days, you know, because I'm busy getting busy with the event. Oops. Guilty as charged. Michael. I know. All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank You. for this great day. And we thank you, Lord, that as we said earlier, we're loved and we want to live loved. Lord, we want to live a life that realizes that love frees us from any shame, any fear, any guilt. And Lord, even though we can all sit here and say, oh, I've blown it, Lord, we know that even in our blowing it, Lord, we're in you and you love us and that you're causing us to grow and to be more like you. And so I pray right now, Lord, that there would just be a depth of us being closer to you. However each and every one of us accomplishes that, Lord, and we know that it's you're the one that's at work in us to accomplish that. So we thank you for this day. Thank you for everybody that's here, everybody that's heard our voices. And we pray, God, that there would be fruit that would come from this time that would remain in our lives, that it would not be taken away from us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise the Lord. Herman, you didn't have anything. You see, you got something. You're just receiving today, huh?
I was guilty at verse 41.
Martha.